In today's episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer entitled Choices, we learn that the key to total world domination is a box full of spiders. My name's Tavia.
And I'm James.
And this is
What the Hell Mouth.
So, like we said, guys, this is What the Hell Mouth. And before we get into the thick of things, I gotta ask James, how have your weeks been?
My week's been... Yeah, because it was 2 weeks since we last recorded. I had something to talk about, but I forgot what it was. I don't... Like, workout regimen... That was, you know, last time I said I fell down and then you said sidewalks are beating me up, so maybe you shouldn't. I lost 1.25 inches around my stomach in a month, so that's that was good.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I go ham when I decide to lose weight. I was eating 5 eggs in the morning and a can of beans at night.
Oh, first of all, that's a lot of eggs.
It's protein, and I don't eat meat, so...
I only eat, like, 3 eggs. That's it, the most I can do at a time.
Well, they were scrambled, and if it's all I'm eating, I'm like, I gotta eat something more.
Yeah.
I'm not as tired as I was during this, so that's good.
That's good, yeah. I was gonna say that's good, but then you said it, so...
Because I went back to eating somewhat normally. I'm still eating the 5 eggs, and I'm still eating the beans here and there, but I threw in some... Hey, I'll have a slice of pizza. I'll have a bowl of ice cream, even though I eat ice cream out of a mug. Because I just get the mug, I put it over the stove for a little bit, and then I just drink the milk that is made from the ice cream.
Okay.
I'm kidding. That's blasphemy to ice cream. But speaking of milk, this is what I wanted to talk about. I got a ding-dang, it's coming in the mail, a nut milk bag. So you can make nut milks, but you can also make oat milks because it's the easiest one to make, as I've heard. So I'll be making my own oat milk and my own cold brew because for a YouTube channel that I've been wanting to do where I cold brew different types of liquids.
Uh-huh.
So, oh my God, you like coffee creamer? Get out of here, coffee creamer and coffee. No, just cold brew the coffee creamer. You don't need to, there's no 2 glasses being poured. Eggnog? Oh. Let's cold brew the eggnog.
Okay.
So, you know, you put the cold brew coffee in the eggnog, you let it seep for 2 days, and then you have a cold brew in that, like it's the eggnog. I'm excited.
No, I don't really know anything about cold brew. I'm pretty confused just overall about what's going on.
So cold brew is you take water and then coffee in, from what I understand, you can get like packets of it or you can do it in a nut milk bag. You put that it just in water and put it in the fridge and then it brews while it's cold and you just let it seep for like 2 days. I haven't done a lot of research into how long I should be putting this stuff in, but that's for another day. So that's how cold brew is made. So instead of water, I'm going to be substituting that for other liquids and drinks. Tea? Oh my God, you love tea, but you want it a little strong coffee-wise? We're going to cold brew tea.
I don't like cold tea.
Well, you can warm it up above a stove like I don't do with ice cream.
I don't know that I believe you. Now you keep harping on it. I feel like that's what you do.
And that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm grifting corporations out of their oat milk because I'm just going to make it myself. Nicole's like, oh, that's too much work opposed to the money that I could just spend on a thing of oat milk. And I'm like, this is the most snootiest rich person thing I've ever heard you say, Nicole.
Now, I agree with Nicole, but I do encourage you to pick up new things, so.
I'm excited. I'm going to have so much oat milk that I won't know what to do with it. And Nicole,
probably too much oat milk.
And I'm going to, I'll be like, oh, Nicole, I'm just going to have to drink all of this by the end of the week. And she's like, well, I could use some of it. And I'll say, fuck no. You said it was dumb. This is the new talking about Beyblade thing. I won't let you on that show. And I'm not going to let you drink my milk made of oats.
Jesus.
But how's your week been?
I got a new roommate. They just moved in.
Oh, hell yeah.
I went somewhere last week, but I don't remember.
Des Moines.
Did I tell you about Kentucky already? No, I went to Des Moines yesterday. Or maybe the day before yesterday. I went to Des Moines Thursday, so the day before yesterday. And then Wednesday, we went to Galena. And then Tuesday, or maybe Wednesday, I found out I didn't get a job that I really wanted, but that's totally okay because better is coming. Oh, we went to Naperville last week, and then we were going to go to this botanical garden, but I started experiencing heat exhaustion and almost puked and definitely needed to poop. So I had to be dropped off at home where I spent the rest of the day in my bed shivering because I had chills and also a really bad headache because I got overheated.
Does his poop, like the need to poop associated with heat stroke?
Oh, I don't know. My stomach just started cramping really, really bad. And I was like, man, if we don't go to a bathroom soon, I might just have to poop in the back seat. And it was like, I did poop and I thought that I would feel better, but I didn't feel any better. And also I was like, oh, I think maybe I need to throw up. But then I didn't throw up. I just pooped some more.
No,
when I got
damn.
Home, obviously, not in the car.
This also sounds like ulcer behavior.
Yeah, my ulcers are definitely, like, I was angry about something recently, and I was like, why does my stomach hurt like this? And I was like, oh, because it was like this, like, burning sensation in the same place it used to be circa 2017. And I was like, oh, them boys back, them boys open.
Man, I wish I could just say it was circa 2017. It's been nonstop.
I had a good stretch of, like, maybe some, like, a year maybe, where I was not experiencing ulcer pain.
I mean, I will have a stretch of a year where I don't feel it, but I'm actively taking the, you know, the 14-day plan they have you on omeprazole?
Uh-huh.
I'm on, like, I don't know, maybe 620-day omeprazole plan.
Omeprazole can cause, I think, dementia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
It can also exacerbate things like pneumonia and other illnesses because you don't... but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not chilling in a I'm not like one of those kids that's like, I'm going to go ice fishing with Pa. And then you fall through the fucking ice, you dumb kid. No, I won't get pneumonia. Then TC explains how he's gotten pneumonia not by falling through ice.
Yeah, I just got it just because I'm just cool like that. I just get shit like that. It's
you
just kind of just what I do. Pneumonia, strep throat. Fuck it, you know.
Corona.
Meningitis scare one time. What's that one you get from kissing? Had it.
Mono?
Mononucleosis. Yeah, I had mono one time when I was a teen from kissing.
I've just had strep throat. That's the biggest flu I've had.
Yeah, I get strep throat maybe twice a year. I'm just cool like that. That's just what I do. Got it like four times last year. I'm pretty fucking dope.
I don't get strep throat, but I'm just like deep throating payphones. It's crazy.
That's disgusting. Anyway. Choices. Season 3, episode 19. Original air date, May 4th, 1999. How many episodes do we have? Two episodes left? Because it's 20 and then the two-part season finale. We have two episodes of the season left.
I was going to say, I think we have three episodes, but you are correct.
Do the season finale as two different parts? Never done never done that in the last like 100 episodes we've done.
No, I'm saying like of Buffy, we have three episodes left. That's what I thought you were asking.
I was just joking because we haven't done 100 episodes.
Yeah, I know. We should be at 100, but this dang coronavirus and that hiatus we took.
This is the season that never ends.
Yeah, it feels like it.
We have been doing season 3 for over a year now.
Oh, like, my God.
It's so bad.
Speaking of 100th episodes, mostly speaking Sentai. TC's a part of it, but we did a 3-hour 100th episode that was released last week.
Super exciting. That's so exciting. I can't wait till we get to our 100th episode.
Yeah. And we do a 300 you know what I mean.
The way we're going, we should be at the 100th episode of What the Hell Mouth at least by 2024, you think?
Yeah.
That'll be pretty exciting.
If we don't count, well, I counted bonus episodes in the Mostly Speaking Sentai count, but if we, I think we're at like 57.
Of what?
Of Buffy. I mean, What the Hell Mouth.
No, we're at, hold on. Hold the phone. Draco, stop it. Stop it. Pooha, what is this behavior?
Because this is called episode 54, I think. But then we had some of the quarantine ones and maybe one other bonus one.
This is episode 53 that we're doing, that we're currently doing.
Yeah.
We are currently in the midst.
So
as
then
I am
55.
Speaking, as I'm talking right now, what I am saying when I'm speaking, this is episode 53.
Yeah.
As I'm literally, we're breaking the fourth wall.
I know.
Is that breaking the fourth wall?
But this isn't a scripted thing. We do not have walls. It's cyberspace.
I've lived a life. That was a joke about my vagina.
But I wasn't sure
my ambiguous genitalia.
Maybe I need to research vagina walls. Doesn't one always have vagina walls?
Yeah, but like a joke about like when you've had sex a lot, is that like they, I guess, like are weakened? I'm actually not sure what actually the, I'm not sure what people say like in that, like, I don't really know actually what it means.
We're two dudes who have no idea about the vagina's anatomy.
Not exactly.
I know about the fallopian tubes. I know about the uterus. I know about what makes menstruation happen.
I know about them also, but like not just from a book.
Actually, these are things my mom told me.
My mom did, like, she could have, but she didn't have to because I used to menstruate and I still actively have a uterus and fallopian tubes.
Let's get those out of there.
No, because then I would have to like take tea forever. And I don't think that like I'll be 60 still wanting to do a shot every day. Every week.
Maybe in the future there'll just be like a pill to do.
I don't be wanting to do it now. And I forget to take pills. When I was on birth control, it was hell.
Or a patch. Oh, my God. My brother used to would smoke cigarettes while having two nicotine patches on.
And then he'd be super high.
Yeah. He would just get a huge head rush and then a headache and then would have to take the patches off.
I am the Freon King.
Yeah. Did I tell you I talked to my brother?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Had a dream about him.
I've been having really weird dreams lately. Mohawk Johnson, special plug, Mohawk Johnson, listen to his music. I had a dream where I offered to make him chicken. And when I went to drop it off, he pulled out one of my fang teeth. But like, it wasn't bad because the tooth was super loose. So he did me a favor. And I told him about it. And he was like, that's wild as hell. And I was like, you did a good thing for me. I don't know why I told you now. And then I have another friend that I went to high school with. I had a dream that I went to pick her up and we went and did karaoke together and she like profusely thanked me on the way home. And she was like, I didn't know that I could do that. Like, it was so good. Like, she just didn't know that she had such untapped potential. And I remember like we were doing a really bad job, but she was thanking me and it was so genuine that I woke up and like I was a little teary eyed because it was so beautiful.
So with I have a lot of dreams where my teeth fall out. And normally,
that's really bad about stress. That means you're really stressed.
It's and specifically about what people think of you. So either you're worried what Mohawk Johnson thinks of you, or Mohawk Johnson makes you feel better about yourself, and that's why he was there to help pull those teeth.
Well, it's different. Like, I'm super, super, super into dream interpreting now because I was having really crazy dreams for such a long time. And there are different aspects of it. So if your teeth fall out, that means one thing. If a tooth is loose, that means one thing. If someone pulls a tooth, it means something. If, like, you were swallowing your teeth, it means something. I also had a dream where, like, my mom.
Well, I've had all of these.
You should look it up. They all mean different things. My mom was, like, super, like, Southern and was smoking a blunt and was like cursing, like just in regular, like I was telling her something and she was fine. She was like, hell no, shut the fuck up. And I was like, that's just not like who my mom is. And then also I kept trying to explain something to her, but I couldn't because I had so much gum in my mouth and I just could not spit the gum out. Cause it was like, even if there was so much gum in my mouth, I couldn't open my mouth enough to get any of it out.
Was it also like in your throat?
It was so like, it was almost in my throat where like it was touching like my tonsils, but it wasn't going down. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't remember. I looked it up, but it was like, I'll be like, I have dreams where like I'm saving people I don't talk to's lives anymore, and I'll look shit like that up. And that's really easy to like interpret. But like when you Google like dream where your mom that you have gone no contact with is smoking a blunt and Southern wearing a robe and you are chewing too much gum so you can't talk, Google is like, so when you dream about your mom, and I'm like, no, not my mom. Well, like her body, but she was Southern in the dream, remember? Google's like, okay, dreaming about people having a Southern accent. I'm like, no, not people. My mother that I've gone no contact with. And then remember, I was chewing gum and there was an owl on the floor.
I would have broke it down, like just to say, like, what does it mean when there's an owl on the floor? What
owls
does it
is supposed to be like, if I remember correctly, good fortune.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've got some good fortune coming. The gum one was something about communication. And then they couldn't tell me anything about why my mom was smoking the blunt.
I should see, even though I figured out why I was having them, but I want to see if Google can tell me why I was having those ghost nightmares.
Probably.
Where I would be asking, like, I'd see a doorknob and I would just scream, I don't want to scream it right now. I would say, like, hey, if there's someone here who happens to be a ghost, I'm trying to make it so all of a sudden, if a ghost is within the room, they're not shaking it, shake it. And then it would start violently shaking and I'd wake up screaming.
What does it mean to dream about ghosts? Past regret or remorse, old memories,
oh, yep,
fears. If you're afraid of the ghost in your dream, you were afraid of them?
Yeah. They're demonic shadows usually.
It can be a fear of it can be a symbol of fears you have in your waking life.
It's the past memories because I'm usually also in a basement.
Have you done something which you now regret or feel remorseful about?
I mean, I guess the regret of like allowing a babysitter to do something to me.
Dreaming of a ghost can symbolize memories of your past.
Because, yeah, once I spoke of that out loud to Nicole and Nick Foster, very weird person on a podcast to say, like, yeah, Nicole and Nick over here, I'm pretty sure I was assaulted as a child. And then Nicole's like, yeah, we'll unpack this later. And Nick goes, yeah, I don't think I should be here for this. But this episode.
I enjoy this episode. It was a good filler episode. But then towards the end, it kind of just seemed like they were trying to pack in a bunch of extra stuff. Like, it to me, essentially the episode is just about, like, for the listeners. So the mayor gets Faith a super nice knife and a dagger, if you will. And motherfucking.
They get a box.
And the box is it's the key to the ascension. So the mayor needs this specific thing in order to complete the ascension. And they're like, the Scoobies are like, no, fuck it. We're going to steal it. And then, you know, we'll stop the ascension because Buffy wants to leave. And then I want to definitely put a pin in that because I need to get into this. So Buffy's saying, hey, she gets into Northwestern, which is the 10th best school outside of like Ivy Leagues. But Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois. So go us. Buffy gets into Northwestern. She doesn't want to stay in Sunnydale anymore. And is like, I want to leave. So let's take the fight to the mayor. That way I can then go to college. So they agree they're going to take the fight to the mail. They're going to steal the box. And when they steal the box, somehow, like, Buffy gets caught because her, like, rig jams. And then they have a big fight. And somehow Willow is kidnapped by them and Faith. And then her and Willow and Faith have this, like, shit-talking each other thing. They have to – the Scoobies end up agreeing to do a trade with the mayor. He gets the box. They get the Willow. And then Willow gets into a shit ton of colleges, but she decides to go to UC Sunnydale with Buffy because Buffy realizes she also can't leave Sunnydale. Some lovers quarrel type shit with Angel and Buffy, so on and so forth. That's the episode. And then in the end, they just kind of threw together 30 different scenes that they seem to be like, whoa, it almost felt like they were like, holy shit, this is episode 19. Like, we are running out of time and we have all this shit to cover.
This episode felt as long as, like, when I'm watching Beyblade sometimes, the length of this episode is what Beyblade, a 22-minute show, feels like. And I'm like, oh my God, just please stop all of these fake endings.
Yes, that was what I thought too. But like even the start of it, that is the longest previously on they've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't the season finale. You all are recapping the entire season and you don't need to do that yet. Just wait a second.
Yeah. This was like 44 minutes all together, like at like when credits roll, which normally I think they're like 42. So
42 maybe at the most. I'd say probably like 40.
Yeah. This was insanely long.
The first scene is the mayor giving Faith her knife as like a present. It's very clear. Apparently no one has ever gifted her anything before, which is very sad. But like he's also kind of like telling her like, hey, you know, you got a lot of mouth on you. And it like they show this dynamic where like he's kind of like a father figure. But it's also like you can never really tell whether he's a father figure or like a daddy figure. And that makes me uncomfortable because I think old men are bad people. I think most men are bad people. I think men are bad people. But anyway, I said all that to say, you don't really know their dynamic. But a thing that stuck out to me that I wish that the writers would have acknowledged was he offers her a cookie. She bites it and then puts it back on the plate of cookies. And a germaphobe would not have been okay with that.
Yeah. And he also makes a huge deal. Oh, maybe these cookies were just for her.
Even still, he would have had an issue with that.
Oh, my biggest issue with this was him saying, oh, you're getting spoiled, I think. He's doing all of this shit for her. She is not asking for anything. The nice apartment, she's like, I don't think so. The PlayStation 1, I don't think so. These cookies, it's his fault if she is getting spoiled.
But he's a man, so like that's just what men do. He said, I'm giving you all this shit you're not asking for, and look at you, being ungrateful.
It would be like if every single day I made Nicole coffee and then I get pissed when she stops saying thank you. That's on me.
It would be like if every day you made Nicole coffee and she was super grateful for it. And then one day she was like, hey, could you maybe make me a different kind of coffee? And you were like, oh, you fucking asshole. Every fucking day I get up and I make like, she maybe just wants a little bit of different coffee. It's okay.
Yeah. Or this is psychic vampire type stuff. Almost.
I think he just is like grooming her. But there's also a beginning fight scene with Angel and Buffy. And the first thing that like stuck out was like, she's like, oh, sorry, honey. And I was like, that's so old and domestic. Like she's still a teenager. Why is she calling him honey? Like they're fucking 40. I mean, he is older than 40, but she is a teenager.
Yeah. I don't like their entire relationship. Also, when she gets the knife, she pulls it out, she looks at it. It's a brand new knife. And she smells the knife.
I watched it with Morgan and Rachel. And Morgan was like, what is she trying to do, cut her mouth? That is what it looked like.
She's going to say, you want to know how I got all these scars?
Oh, that's good. That's funny. I don't know why I deadpan that like that. It seemed like I didn't think it was funny. Oh, that's good. That's funny.
Nicole and I used to do this bit where I would like get these like scarves, you know, for wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And one time I put them on and I just went, you want to know how I got all these scarves? And then it made Nicole laugh. And then I kept doing the bit. Oh, I got this one from Goodwill. This one was gifted to me by a grandparent. And this one I stole from a gutter.
Jesus. Sorry, I had to mute myself to open a bag of chips.
It didn't work, I'll tell you that.
I'm so sorry.
I heard the butt end of it opening, but I'm hearing you start a microwave, I'm guessing. Are you making nachos?
Yeah. How'd you know?
I'm in a corner and there is a... Like I'm boxed in between a blanket, a wall, and a cushion from a chair to dampen my sound as much as I can in this big room.
I also didn't have my camera on. I was running behind because I was cutting Rachel's hair, so I had to do my notes. I had to watch it downstairs and then do my notes in the notes app on my phone.
Okay.
So my camera hasn't been on.
And then so we are flashed to Buffy and Angel fighting. Literally, they're fighting some vampires. And I guess they're done with the whole like, oh, I didn't
like will they, won't they angsty thing.
And then it turns into, oh, we're in a rut. We're just doing the same thing. But I guess it's her realizing that she's her is in a rut because she knows she's going to be doing the same thing all the time. And I was going to jokingly ask Nicole this because Buffy's like, oh, you never take me to new places. I was going to say that to Nicole. Like, does that mean we're in a rut? You never take me anywhere new. But the joke is we're in a pandemic and we can't go anywhere new.
Yeah. She's a pain. And I have to, again, like, that to me is the theme of this, like, the back half of the season, is just having to constantly remind myself that she is a teenager, because that is what a teenager, you don't ever take me anywhere nice. But it's hard to remember that because she's also, like, chosen to save the world. So I wish she'd be more mature. But I guess in this instance, I would say it's a good, like, that was a good thing to add in to, like, make you remember this is still an 18-year-old in this very mature relationship that she shouldn't be in. And everything is kind of changing for everyone around her. Nothing is changing for her. So you're like, you don't ever take me anywhere special. But the, like, funny jab is he's like, oh, I took you to that demon nest, because that's, like, their special.
Nicole, well, this scene, like, right when it was done, she turns around because she was watching the TV. We have a mattress in front of our TV for the past, I don't know, month. And she turns around and just goes, this fucking relationship is so unrealistic. There is no way that someone this old would be with someone this just immature. And she did say, like, oh, when I'm 50, we'll still be doing the same thing and you'll be, I mean, the same age. But it's like, no, mentally, he is still 100-some years old.
But he's very immature.
Yeah.
Like, he's so immature. They're a good match in the sense that he's also very insecure. He's also very immature. He never seems to understand, like, her well-meaning behavior, and he takes it as a slight and shit like that. So they're good for each other. It's just also a very bad relationship because he's 6,000 years old and she's a teenager.
It's bad. And then we flash forward to high school, and a kid is bringing someone else a bagged lunch. And then the principal, Snyder, is that his name?
Yeah.
He grabs the bag, which it's weird that a friend is giving a friend a lunch bag. It's like, did you forget it somewhere? Why? What's going on here? But hands him, then Snyder snaps and he says, what's in the bag? Is it drugs? And they're like, it's my lunch, dude. And he goes, oh, is that the new drug slang lunch? And I was like, yeah, man, it's sweeping the friggin' America. And it keeps you going throughout the day, except around like 5 o'clock, you know, you start feeling draggy. That's because of lunch, guys.
They also flash forward, or like they flash over, and Willow, Oz, Buffy, and Xander are talking. And they're talking about, like, the schools they want to go to and everything, because Buffy has gotten into Northwestern. Willow's gotten into Oxford, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, every school in the world. And Xander is going on, like, a find-yourself road trip. Oz doesn't seem to be doing anything, but I guess that's fine. And they're all talking. And then Cordelia comes over to, like, be nasty to them. And one thing that bothers me is that she's nasty to all of them, which is not fair. And then sometimes she's not nasty to them. So it's like, what are we doing? But you should only be nasty to Willow and Xander. And if she was always nasty to them, okay, fine. That's warranted. Even if it was like she sometimes is, she sometimes isn't. They deserve it. You shouldn't be nasty to everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't get why they started dressing her so old.
Because she's old. Maybe Charisma Carpenter wanted to be dressed that way.
I feel like the writer should have stepped in and been like, certainly not. So that doesn't work, hon.
Who knows?
Buffy goes to Giles and that other guy, Wesley. And she's like, I really want to go. I want to leave. I want to leave. I want to leave. And she's so selfish. She's so selfish. You can't leave. Like, that's just not I get it. And I understand, like, why she wants to. But you have to be here. And the thing that was like, it would be one thing if she was saying, I want to leave. That's just that. But her whole thing was like, I'm going to leave and I'll be gone during this time and you guys can take care of it. And then I'll be here during this time and you are asking your friends to put themselves in certain death situations.
Well, I think she should go to Northwestern. You know, it is in Evanston. There's no hellmouth there, but you better believe there is one in Skokie. Heating on Skokie. I want to ride the yellow line someday.
But you can't ask your friends, You can't ask your friends, oh, well, you guys, with your not superpowers, but just like sort of know-how and mostly luck and me being nearby to save you, you guys handle it all but like during midterms and spring break. You're asking them to kind of die.
Yeah, it's mean. Can I flash? Can we go back to one quick thing Cordelia said during their nasty altercation with everyone?
Yeah.
Xander brings up that Willow got into Oxford and she goes, oh, have fun spending 4 years in Teabag Central. And I was like, yeah, man, British people love to gargle scrote. You can't say Teabag Central.
But I don't think Teabag meant that back then.
I think it did.
Oh, maybe it was like an Easter egg.
Maybe.
For me, it was like the funny thing was when she's like, oh, that's just for people that didn't get into Yale. And Willow goes, I got into Yale. And they flash back to Cordelia, and she looks so exhausted by it. That was funny. Faith went, like, literally crazy. So, like, there wasn't, like, it didn't, like, progress to this. It just happened immediately. It's one thing to kill people. There's something different, I think, about cutting through bone, though. When she cut that man's hand off, I was like, oh, she's nuts.
Yeah.
She had literally just killed him. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You kill a guy. But to cut his hand off? His hand.
I knew it was going to happen right when they were like, oh, where's the key for the handcuff? I was like, she's cutting this arm off. She probably felt the handcuff key and she's like, I'm not going to tell him about that. I want to cut this arm off.
She said, I've been dying to use this knife. Now I might as well get to just sawing this nigga hand off right quick. The Scoobies devise a plan to, I guess, follow to get the box and everything. And there's a part where the vampire that was working with Faith to get the box, the box of spiders is driving and like stops at a stoplight and Buffy just bashes his windows open. And here's my thing, whether or not I'm good or evil, if I am working for the mayor, especially after what happened to Finch, they should just it should always be strength in numbers. We should never be alone. There should never be an opportunity where Buffy can come up and bust my window open and pull me out of my car.
Yeah.
They're not thinking it through.
And then so they devise this plan, which is going in through a sunroof to get this box of spiders.
Sunroof.
And yeah, it's a sunroof.
Yeah, it's just a funny. This is a funny way to describe it.
What, isn't that what they're called? They call it a sunroof.
I thought sunroofs were only cars. Like those are like a sky window. Which I guess is a sunroof.
They go in through this sunroof and they make this pulley system to do this, and it's Buffy and Angel. Buffy is going down. Angel has superhuman strength, and Buffy is a tiny lady. He could have easily just hoisted her down, pulled her back up. But then he's like, oh, the lever is caught. He could have just taken the rope and just pulled it up himself.
Yeah. Instead of going down there with her.
Yeah.
Even when the alarm went off and the guys came in, he still could have just pulled her up. You didn't have to also go down there.
Yeah.
But to rewind a little bit, one, I loved Willow's little velour dress. That was so cute.
Yeah.
Two, so Xander sees Cordelia through the window of a store and goes to antagonize her because he's a bully. And they're talking and he's talking about how she didn't get accepted to any schools because she doesn't have a good enough personality to be interviewed. And she picks up a stack of envelopes from schools that she was accepted to. And what gets me is at the time, we don't know she works there. So we're assuming she is shopping in a boutique and just is carrying around her, except not in a purse. Not, they were just sitting on a chair in the boutique. I've never been accepted to any colleges, so I don't know how it works. But I don't think you carry the letters around.
Maybe if, and just hear me out, she had her address is the school because she is old enough to be a teacher, and they go to those little like cubby mailboxes in the office, and she just pulled that out, went to her job at the dress store, and she's just has them out.
I mean, very maybe.
But does that mean those weren't really acceptance letters? They were all rejections?
No, they were acceptance letters.
Wait, so then why is it like a revelation she's working there?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Do we find out though?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
How did they know when they were dropping the magic dust over the box that nobody was in there? Because somebody should have been in there guarding that box. Uh-huh. I really want to understand. I want to understand why Alan Finch was killed and they didn't beef up on security. I'm not getting it.
Maybe
I don't get it.
They're like, oh, the magic is security enough.
Somebody should be watching everyone at all times.
That's Big Brother for you.
So the mayor realizes that they have his box get away from my food. And throws a little fit. And then Faith comes in, dagger to Willow's neck, and they've abducted her. And we never actually even see Willow go into where was Willow?
I think this is what happened. Willow goes down the roof because she's also there because she's the one having to get the magic barrier off from the box of spiders. Uh-huh. And in that process, Faith saw her get down and then kidnapped her and then brought her into the building.
Oh, like gets down to go back to the van?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense, I guess. They're talking while Willow is walking through the... Willow is abducted. They put her in a very small room, and then she sees the mayor and Faith talking, and the mayor is comparing Buffy to dogs and says he used to have an Irish setter, so I looked Irish setters up. Very cute. Very cute little doggins.
I don't know what an Irish setter is.
Long-haired dogs.
And I'm too far away from the computer.
So when Willow breaks into the other room and finds the Books of Ascension, they do like 3 screen swipes of her reading it, which means she was there long enough to just grab... Even if she had just grabbed one of the 5 books, you have more than you used to have. Grab a book and go. Why are you sitting there comfortably? You're not even... Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Excuse me again. You're not even sitting in a position where if you were caught, you could get up and try to run away. You're sitting there, legs tucked under you, like you're reading like fucking corduroy. Please get up and go.
She could have or just done this. Taken all the books or just a few of them, opened up a window and thrown them in a bush.
Yeah.
Because then they could have gone back and grabbed them. I would like to talk. I want to flash forward to the ending because you brought up something that I wanted to touch on. Wesley, for the longest time, was like, oh, this is a bad plan. We shouldn't just go to them. We shouldn't be on the offensive if we don't really know what they're trying to do right now. Flash forward, their plan did not work, but it's right after Willow says, oh, hey, I was able to grab some pages from the Book of Ascension. Hopefully these will help. And then Wesley comes in and makes this snide remark of like, well, now we're back to where we started. No, you have some of the pages, and those pages might gleam something into what this Ascension is.
It almost feels like they wrote him like maybe we were going to find out that he was also one of the bad guys at some point. But this would have been the episode to do that. But he's so nasty and snarky that it's like, how are we supposed to work with you? You are a piece of shit. When they were like, we don't give a shit about, you know, like, I think it's selfish of them to be like, well, our one friend is more important than the world. But that's just, I think, what a normal person would do. And him being like, oh, you know, well, we can't do this. You're always going to be outnumbered, so there's no point in you doing this anyway. But you're not even in the presence of people you should say this around.
Yeah.
And I don't get why they wrote him that way, but I get like they needed to make it so that we really didn't like Wesley. So it got the point across that like Giles is the only watcher she ever needs.
Yeah, he should have come at this of like, okay, let's try this plan. However, if it backfires, if all else fails, we need to make sure we destroy the box of spiders.
Yeah.
But no, he was just like, no, screw Willow. She's one person. We'll save thousands, if not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. And in front of Oz. And then he threw the little pot. But to me, that was like, if you're so upset about this, get up and punch him. I get that like Oz is known for like not reacting. But I think that would have been a good time for him to be so angry that like, okay, he threw the pot. But no. Get up and everybody was like, we should hit Wesley. That would have been good if Oz got up and hit him.
I thought he was going to pick up the pot and smash it on top of Wesley.
That would have also been good. Then flash, I think, forward. Faith catches Willow reading the Books of Ascension. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to fuck you up. And Willow's like, wait, Faith, I want to talk to you. And Faith is like, go ahead, give me the speech. Tell me it's not too late. Here's the thing. I get it. You can't reason with her because she is too far gone at this point for you to try to redo the whole, wait, we want to be your friend, so on and so forth. But Willow goes on to be like, oh, it's way too late. You know, you fucked up. You made your choice. You know, people might think you had a bad life. Oh, fucking well, you had friends like Buffy. You had a lot more than other people had. And my thing is like, okay, you can't plead with her or like level with her, but you probably shouldn't taunt her.
Yeah.
Because she like on either side of that, she's literally just be like, well, maybe we talk. Why not just like be like jokey Willow and bide your time? I get that they were being like, oh, this is Willow's like shining moment where it's like, I'm not scared of anybody, but that's dumb to do.
In this is the exact point where that ass worship fan fiction I read is where Willow switches on Faith and says, like, you're my anal whore, and then just goes in on Faith.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
So then Faith is going to stab Willow, but the mayor comes in and he's like, no, don't do that. Faith is still going to do it. He's like, yo, I don't like repeating myself. You're starting to piss me off. Ungrateful little girl. He is just a terrible dad. But so they end up agreeing to meet for some reason at the school in the lunchroom so that they can make the trade. And when they get there, the mayor starts doing like what I think old white men do, just kind of giving unsolicited advice that people are like, you're being really offensive, please stop. But because he's an old white man, he's like, no, I'm going to keep giving you whippersnappers don't understand. You know, back in my day, you couldn't even drink at the same water fountain. And now you're crying because, and they're like, please stop doing this. Please, you don't want to hear anymore. and he will not stop giving his advice, except it's geared specifically. He is diabolical in the sense that, like, he somehow just seemed to know that the way to make the entire gang of them fall apart was to attack Buffy's relationship with Angel consistently. I think this is the third consecutive time now where by attacking her relationship with Angel, they start to fall apart because she's so worried about their them being together. But it was weird because there's a part where Buffy says something like snarky to the mayor. He's like, you know, if you guys don't want me to, like, if you don't want Faith to kill your friend, essentially shut the fuck up. And right after he says it, Angel's like, I don't care. And it's like, well, then what are we doing this for? If you all don't care about Willow and her well-being, why are we doing... He said, stop talking or we will kill her. And you said, no, you stop. What are we... I'd have been like, Angel, what are we doing? Did you not hear what he said? So then the mayor goes on a long, long rant about how essentially Buffy and Angel aren't going to have a lasting relationship, not just because he's going to kill them, but because they are just not built to last. And how his wife, like, I don't know, Ida May or something, slave sounding. He watched her age and he didn't, and she hated him so much. And it's weird that he didn't kill her, but okay. And you can see Buffy and Angel both like take, and then at one point they flash over to Giles, and even Giles is standing there like, damn, he might be spitting. Hold on a second. he's not exactly wrong. So. And then it's like one of the many, many, many ending scenes. I think it's the actual final scene. Buffy and Angel are sitting at a grave having this like sad moment because they're like both realizing like, no, we are not going to be able to have a lasting relationship. The mayor was right. But they're both trying to pretend that he was wrong. And it's like Buffy will let anybody get into her head. It would be one thing, excuse me, if like Giles was saying this or even hating it like Xander was saying it. But even though he's... Who in the fuck is ringing my doorbell like that? Even though he's crazy, I mean, even though he's right, the mayor is still crazy. Why are you putting so much stock into what he's saying? He is still because like you just have to have some security. You got to have some security. But she doesn't, and apparently neither does Angel. While I'm walking downstairs, the box of spiders. So like, we saw that spider eat that guy's face off.
Yeah,
and then when one got on the mayor. They just grabbed it.
Can I quickly say what Nicole said?
Yeah.
That police officer with the or the principal comes in and he just opens the box for no one told him to. He opens the box and Nicole just said, man, that spider came out, screamed ACAB and bit this officer's face off.
But it was weird that like he ate that man's face. And then when one got on the mayor, Faith literally just grabbed it and threw it.
Well, because he can't be killed.
Well, what about Faith?
I don't know.
Crawl up her, eat her hand or something.
She was like icky real quick, so it's kind of like the 5-second rule.
I suppose.
But just with spiders, or maybe it's like a turtle where if you like snatch their back, they can't really harm you at all.
And then also one was on Buffy's back.
And then she just dead dropped back. On him. Did a trust fall, and the spider said, "Please don't trust me."
He said, "You're too heavy." Wait.
And then it's crunch.
Like we see, it's like they do little bits of humanity that make me so sad for her because she didn't have to help Wesley. And if there was anybody she shouldn't have helped, it was Wesley. But there's a spider crawling behind Wesley, and she throws her like her new knife to stop it from hurting him. Or I guess anybody in the room, essentially. And then she has to leave her knife behind when she goes with the mayor, which I mean, she really didn't. I would have just been like, you're going to let my girl get her knife or I'm going to open this box. Fuck. Yeah. What do we do? You guys aren't thinking this through. It's like everybody's panicking. And then Principal Snyder is in there with them And he's like, oh, I wish you guys were just doing drugs or something. Like, it's almost like they forgot he was a character that they had. And then they were like, oh, shit, Principal Snyder, let's have him in the show.
Also, isn't he wise to all of this shit?
That's why he was apologizing to them. Like, he's still, when the mayor steps out of, like, his line of sight, and when he steps in and he's like, oh, Principal Snyder, I'm so sorry. He immediately is like, oh, my bad, you know. But then the police officer opens the box. But he was backpedaling and apologizing.
I just thought he was apologizing because he's like, oh, the mayor's here. The mayor is knowing what's going on.
No, I think he knew. That's how it came off to me.
I don't know. But those are all my notes.
I have two more for the, like, 30 ending scenes. The ending scene where Willow and Buffy are sitting on the table and she's explaining everything she said. Where would she have kept those papers? She had them maybe in her butt.
That's where I keep mine.
I believe that about you.
I don't. I'm afraid of paper cuts.
Oh, I believe that too. And then there's the scene where we find out that Cordelia actually works at the boutique. And the lady comes and says that Cordelia's break has been over for 10 minutes. And that is an immediate write-up. And further, the woman is like, hey, you know, you got to get back out there. Your break's been over for 10 minutes now. And Cordelia goes back to doing what she was doing. Like, at most, you get a 10-minute break and you took a 20 and now you're going to take a 25. I would have got a write-up for that.
It also looks like it's 9 o'clock outside. So I don't know what she's supposed to be doing.
And then also, too, as well, it seemed like she was the only person working there. So I know people were like, hello, hello, I'd like a key to get into a dressing room. Ma'am? And she's back there trying on dresses.
Maybe they were closing for the day. Who knows? But I actually do have one more note. Have you seen, I forget what dish detergent it is, but there is a dish detergent commercial with Freddie Prinze Jr. and SMG.
I have seen that, yeah.
It's weird.
She looks great.
I think he still looks good.
I respect that about you.
He's a handsome man.
Okay. My favorite line of the episode is when they're about to go in, Wesley is like, let's all synchronize our watches. I haven't. When he starts reading off the time, everybody holds their wrists up and nobody has watches on. I thought that was funny.
I didn't see that.
And that's all I got.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. TC, you got anything to plug?
Yep, sorry, I'm chewing. Give me a second. I haven't eaten a day. I'm sorry. I'm so hungry.
Me too.
Now I feel unprofessional because you're hungry too, but you're not eating. Follow me on Instagram at Tavia.cw.
You're cooking during this. That's the weirdest thing.
I felt bad about that too, but I don't let shame stop me. You know, you can't let shame stop you. Follow me on Instagram at Tavia.cw. You can see my assorted trips. Or if you want to follow my transition, follow me at Transitioning with TC. Follow me on Twitter at Tavia underscore. Did I say underscore CW for Instagram?
I don't know.
Follow me. It's Tavia.cw, but you guys know the deal. Follow me on Twitter at Tavia underscore CW because they don't let you put a period. And I'm going to complain about it until they change that stupid rule. And that's all I got to plug.
Hey, guys, go over to MLMpod.com to find out information about my other podcasts, such as Mostly Speaking Sentai, This Movie's Gay, which is back. We're on Twitch now. You can watch us live stream the podcast, and then I still will edit it for later to put out on Spotify and all of that stuff. But go to Core Winning on Twitch. So twitch.tv/Core Winning. That's CoreWynning. To watch us do live podcasts and such. And then also listen to my rap music under Marshland Monster, available wherever music is found. And you can download a lot of the albums for free on MLMpod.com. And finally, go over to patreon.com/MLMpod for Patreon exclusive podcasts. Right now, it's just Nicole and I doing podcasts because of the whole pandemic, but eventually we'll have other co-hosts have Patreon exclusive stuff over there as well once we get all of this recording stuff figured out. But if you want shout outs every single episode, those are what $10 patrons get. So I'd like to do that right now. Big shout outs to Steve F, aka Hit People Guy, Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z, aka The Waz, our old boss, Orion under the rap name Defo. Then we've got Two Grapes, Kayla. Then we've got Duo Grunfox. That's two grunts for the price of Fox. And Tyler Wright, a.k.a. Burvy, my best friend from Muskegon. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. All right. James?
Yeah, what's up?
You stopped talking. I didn't know if you were still here.
And my name has been James.
And I've been TC.
And we've been What the Hell Mouth. Or I think we say, like, you've been listening to, I don't know. This pandemic has been bonkers.
I know, but I'm so excited. Just think about it. In 9 months' time, we'll be on to season four. We'll be starting season four.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.